Today is February the 10th, 2012. This is Sylvania City Council Committee of the Whole. The time is 7:33 a.m. In attendance is Todd Milner, Mike Brown, Katie Capellini, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey, and Mary Westfall from City Council. From the administration, Scott Smith, Mike Tansey, George Eichenauer, Chief Rodas, Jim Moan, Kevin Aller, Bill Sanford, Mayor Stow, and we also have Joanne Bell with us this morning from the court, who's going to be making an introduction to us.
Hey, Doug, it's Mark.
The purpose of this meeting, this is the monthly meeting as we continue to monitor the 2012 budget as we continue to get ready for 2013. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss capital requests for this year, as well as Mr. Smith has some comments on actual results from last year. Before we do that, Joanne, would you like to start? You probably don't want to spend this whole time with us this morning, do you?
Oh, I would enjoy it very much. This is very new.
So yeah, please come forward.
First of all, I'd like to introduce Nita Messerschmidt. And since y'all know, I will be retiring at the end of March, and Nita will be taking over. She will be the new clerk of work. So that's why she's here also. And I guess we're talking about what we are asking for in the budget this year. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for the new computers that you bought for us, because we really needed them. And secondly, okay, we have in here, first of all, we'll start from the bottom up. The $9,000 for the payment. I'm not sure that was a quote once before, but we do need our court building painted big time. The next thing was, well, let's go to the $21,000, and that was for the upgrade. Nita and I have been talking, and we've also been talking yesterday with Henshins, who is our computer specialist, and we are not going to be asking for the $21,000. We are, we still want the Merge Pro software, which Nita maybe can explain better. She went to classes at Henshins as to getting this system put in so the court will be able to make their own forms. We won't have to ask people to do them for us and save money that way. So do you want to explain a little bit of the Merge Pro?
Merge Pro would just allow us to have, I guess, better formatted forms, able to save it to our computer system, try to reduce the paper, and working towards imaging and having a paperless system somewhere down the line. But that is definitely a multi-year process. And the $3,000 that we're asking for would be increased, but the $21,000 would be decreased significantly. So we'd probably only be asking for about $5,000 for the Merge Pro software upgrade. And in regards to the upgrade to the MCIS, that would be decreased significantly. I can't give you a definite number. They'll start working on a quote for us, but it would.
It's not the $2,100 now.
$21,000,
I'm sorry.
Any questions for Joanne or Nita?
There's nothing more clear than significantly decreased. Like, does that mean significant, $3,500 to you, or
$20,000?
Yeah.
Much,
think,
correct,
okay.
Much, I would say.
I think with the Merge Pro, what we're asking for, some of the smaller updates, I don't think it would go over
$10,000. Okay,
that's helpful. I do have a question, and maybe it's for Scott or for you, but I know years ago the court instigated its own capital improvement fund that you put into for every case that you have. These fit into that category, I assume. They're not coming out of the city's general capital improvement fund, but out of yours.
Correct.
Other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Nita, welcome. At this time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Smith, who has some observations on the 2011 actual results, and also so we can begin our discussion on the capital request.
Yeah, in the package, there's about 4-page documents stapled together. This is some information I put together for our state retreat, and I just thought I'd share it with the council. And it's a 5-year trend for our fund balances and expenditures. And basically what we show here is our, and I focused in on the general debt service and capital projects. Those are the ones that are supported by our income taxes, property taxes. So you see those three funds together have been gone from about $22 million in 2007, we're at $17.4 million in 2011. In 2010, we made the decision to shift more of the fund balance into the general fund, so that it looks good on our financial statements for the debt issuances. So at the end of 2011, we ended up 3.3 in the general fund, and then the capital projects fund together, we have $14,066,000. But a reminder is that about $1 million of that are unspent bond proceeds, so $13 million would be a good number for the capital projects. Down below is a trend information on the expenditures for those funds for the same 5 years, and then I budgeted for next year. And just one of the things I just really wanted to highlight, I think the debt services stay pretty constant. If this goes up next year because of our bond issue. But the general fund, you can see 2007 it was 10.3, 2008, 2009, not much growth. 2010, it went up quite a bit. That's because of, I have a note there about, we had several payouts for people that left. We had a significant expenditure for Palmer Pool and the streets department. I think that was the year of the salt scarcity, and we had to spend quite a bit of money, extra money on salt. And then 2011, we're back in the, down to 11.3, which is actually less than what we spent in 2008, 2009. And then when I got to 2012, I put that budget number in there, I thought, that's quite an increase. But if you go back to 2011, budget was actually $12,078,000, and we spent $11,374,000. So we actually did come in $700,000 under budget in our general fund last year. So investigating that a little bit further on the next page, I took all the general fund departments. And I took the original budget. You know, before we do that year-end adjusting appropriation schedule where we move all the money around. So this is the original budget before we do that adjusting entry. And I just took the original budget compared to what the actuals were for each department. You can see that total we were came in $700,000 under budget for the year. It's our big savings in law enforcement, the courts, and transfers out. The transfers out number, the significant savings was the transfer to the streets department. So the big departments were in the budget were law enforcement, the courts, and the streets. Then the other two pages are for your reference. It's the GFOA's best practices on fund balances for the federal fund. And on the second page, I highlighted that they actually only recommend no less than 2 months, which is 16.6%, and we're carrying at 30% fund balance reserve. So I think that 30% is is a very good fund balance to carry in the general fund. And if we keep it in that range, I think really what we need to focus on then is what we want to keep in our capital funds for future capital expenditure. I really just wanted, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we're supposed to talk about capital thing, but I really just wanted to do that, the results of the funding to actual last year, how it came in on the budget. You know, it seems like people are really reluctant to cut their budgets, but they really are diligent about managing their budgets, so we did come in the budget last year.
Scott, I think this is very helpful. Thank you. And I just want to make sure I understand that general practice and best practice policy would suggest 16.6% in reserves is enough.
No less, they said no less than that.
Okay, and we currently have 30%. Did I hear that correctly?
How did you calculate that 30% number?
It's 30% of the expenditures without transfers is the method that we use.
Without transfers.
So that's none of these budget, right? None of these budget lines. Our current target balance is based on our general fund.
Well, into the
right,
so 3.3, and I made sure that was 30%. I transferred the money up there. So 3.3.
No, wait a minute. The question I'm asking is our current target balance is based on our general fund expenditures, right?
General fund expenditures without transfers.
And that's 150%.
150% in the capital projects fund.
Right.
Right. And 30% in the general fund.
Okay, I see. You're talking about your reserves in the general fund itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions for Scott?
On the capital request list here, what I did is I just started with the form we did last time, just so we wouldn't have to go back and go back to it. But we took the form from last time. The administration had, we talked about what we could cut back out of that, what we really needed. And then I made the notations on there so we could just follow it that way. And then there's Doug requested at the bottom of the list now I have the capital improvement projects that we're going to be working on this year also. So you can see we withdrew the SRT vehicle. We reduced the amount of the ash tree project from 65 down to 35. We're going to withdraw the request for the one-ton dump truck in the streets department. And the salt dome is going to be more than 100. I plugged in 200. Kevin's really still working on getting what the final cost on that would be. And then we also withdrew the sign project. So I invited Mike to talk about the information technology PC upgrade, and then Kevin can answer questions on the other departments.
Scott, excuse me, did we discuss here the pole sign project? Or is that a recommendation from the administration? I don't remember talking about that here.
I think that came up at our staff meeting in our retreat of how we can turn back our capital request.
So we should consider these essentially recommendations from the administration.
A little X next to it means that we're recommending that.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just want to make sure that I didn't miss something.
That's correct.
So we can proceed with just an explanation of what we're looking for here, or just take questions.
Information technology $60,000 item is phase two of our PC upgrade. Originally it was going to be three phases. We bought in quantity, plus we bought through a new state of Ohio contract.
which allowed us to significantly, by $60,000, reduce our expenses. So it went from three-year project to a two-year project. The reason we're doing this, Windows XP is announced since 2001, and support from Microsoft is going to end early in 2014. That means no more security updates. And with the 650,000 personal records that we protect, that is totally unacceptable. So we got some time to replace the rest of them, plus most machines are 5 and 6 years old. The court really has enjoyed the faster machines. They don't lock up, they don't quit, they don't catch on fire anymore. Also in that is upgrading the Office software. Currently they're running 2003 software, and it's incompatible with all the 2007, 2010 software. So there's a document problem. Somebody tries to collaborate on the same documents. You've got different agencies running different versions, and ours is way behind. So we've got to bring it up. Also, our email server is on its last legs, and we can't upgrade that until we get the XP out to machines and get them to Windows 7. So this is key. We figured rather than stretch it out till next year, let's do it all this year, because we cut back on what we needed by $60,000 due to the economies of buying a budget or buying a bulk. Any questions?
Mike, that benefits across all of our departments. It's in that phrase specific area.
All departments. We started with the court is done. Most of the police department's done. Now we're going to move on to parks and forestry, the room road, and an administration building. So it's a across-the-board change-off. And so we skipped all over Windows Vista, which was a disaster, and we'll probably keep this one till it runs out. I mean, there's no sense upgrading just to upgrade, but to upgrade to make sure that you are secure is the most important. We undergo a security probe every year by an outside vendor to make sure that our outside defenses are adequate, and we passed again this year. We also probe ourselves inside, and we look for vulnerabilities. Well, when Microsoft says we're not going to fix any vulnerabilities, that grabs our attention.
Any questions for Mr. Tansey? Scott, maybe we should just keep going through line by line as far as the administration's recommendations of what to delete this year.
I'll start with parks, obviously. The phase one of the tree removal and replanting in the Room Park took place last year, and we got a lot of work done for the money that we spent that year. In talking with Pat, and walking out there with him to see what's left, so to speak. He's very comfortable. These numbers are what he came back with based on what we've done so far of his cost. And he's comfortable that we can do that. He said that we probably only spend about half of what the 65, but we also, he showed me a potential concern out there on the boundary line, and I think we need to have that resurveyed. So I just put $2,500 in for that. It won't cost that much. It's probably $500 to $1,000, but that way I know we've got expenses. If the tree does overrun a little bit, then we're covered. So he's comfortable that 35 will cover what we need to do out there yet. so we've been able to reduce that. Streets is still the oldest street cleaner that we have is becoming more and more of a maintenance problem. So it needs to go. And in talking with Streets on replacing it, they're still strongly in favor of, and I concur with them that we should replace the unit. We will be making changes to our street cleaning operation. We're going to reduce the schedule and keep a close eye on it. The advantage of cleaning the streets is you keep all of your sediment and material out of your storm sewer system. The disadvantage is the equipment doesn't last long. There have been some reasons why they've operated the way they have, but over the course of the years, those reasons are changing, and we'll modify that. We're going to reduce it. That, of course, makes the equipment last longer. But I concur with the streets division that we should replace that piece of equipment. The one-ton dump truck, we're all right if we keep the one that we have. It's operating well, not a maintenance time either. So we can keep the one that we presently have. Building improvements are needed. We've got some skylight issues and things like that down there, and some minor repairs, so that should stay in. The salt dome, I am trying to fine-tune that. We're looking at some cost reduction possibilities, and we'll probably be coming to council. If it gets approved, we'll probably be coming to council either the upcoming meeting or the next meeting for permission to advertise to get that going. You know, that's the salt dome is one of those things that you only get one chance. And, you know, 5 years, 20 years from now, nobody wants to be saying, I wish we would. So we've been struggling through some of those things and had several meetings with the streets department to get that, what we need, but no more than what we need.
Is that why the number has changed so dramatically?
I'll help. The number was established by Mr. Ballmer before, and Kevin has not been able to recreate the project for the budget that Mr. Ballmer had. Kevin has taken a fresh look at it and says it's more like $200,000. We've asked him to try to reduce it, to re-engineer the building and make it smaller. It wasn't saving a lot of money. So I can't answer the question, but current service director says that's what it is.
We have a new sheriff in town, and instead of asking forgiveness, we're asking permission, which I appreciate, so thank you.
Yeah, we've done some things in terms of cost, but they're not huge savings. And there's still some site work design that still has to be done. I'll be doing that, that cost is pretty good stuff.
Kevin, could you just briefly discuss the benefits to our community of this new salt dome?
Yeah, the salt obviously has to be protected. You can't leave it out to open space. Also, when you're loading the equipment and that kind of stuff, if you're fighting the elements while you're doing so, it just slows the operation down. This will enable us to really take advantage of the markets and play the market, if you will. If you know, this upcoming bid, if the price is, just to use numbers, $5 a ton less than what it was the previous year, we're going to load it. I mean, we're going to get as much salt as we can for the budget that we have and stock it. And then the next year when the price goes back up, it doesn't hit us as hard. I don't think anybody anticipated the winter that we haven't had this year. If it continues, we are going to have a lot of salt. that pile that you see out at Fossil Park is going to almost double in size. We have to, by contract, we're required to take another 2,000 ton by the end of March. Had this been a normal winter, you know, the pile would have gotten smaller and then it would have gotten bigger. This isn't a normal winter. The pile hasn't gotten a whole lot smaller. So this structure gives us that flexibility to really kind of gauge what the market does each year and, you know, either increase our stock or decrease our stock based on those prices. So, thank you. Yep.
Todd, could I make a comment about the street equipment,
sure.
Street sweeper?
Sure.
A couple things. First of all, you addressed what I was going to ask, which is whether the administration had a discussion about whether we need a street cleaning program at all, you know, because I think that's the kind of thinking as we talk about our operating budget and our capital budget that we need to have. It's a phenomenal service to our citizens, but in the economic realities of government on a budget in the 2010s, can we afford it? It sounds to me like there's a operational reason why we do it from the standpoint of keeping our storm sewers clear. So I appreciate, Kevin, the fact that you're proactively thinking about that. I guess my question is, as you change, and it's, I know this is a capital budget discussion, but as we change our thinking about street cleaning, will that ultimately result in some general fund savings as well in terms of staffing?
Long term, we've taken a very quick look at that, and I wouldn't want to say yes, we'll definitely do it. You know, the potential's there. I mean, obviously that ties the body up, and that street sweeper's been out quite a bit. The one thing that we have to take a look at is you got, you know, each season has your own operations. And as you come up to your leaf season, that's your street department. You need a certain number of people to do that. Mm-hmm. Then you get into the winter season where you've got your snow and ice control, and you need a certain number of people to do that. The leaf pickup, maybe you can cover that with some temporaries. You know, maybe you can accomplish that. I would not feel comfortable hiring temporaries to do a snow plow. Mm-hmm. I would want our employees out there doing that. So those are the kind of things that long-term we got to take a look at.
Yeah.
It's okay, we've trimmed some duties that we're doing here, but if we do trim staff, how does that affect the rest of the season type thing? So it's on the radar to take a look at, but I don't have a definite answer for you today. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
And one thing on the street cleaning, we are required through our stormwater permit, our MS4 stormwater permit, we are required to have our streets cleaned. Not nearly as often as our cycle has been. I don't really want to back off to what the minimum requirement is.
Sure.
But we, you know, someplace in the middle.
Okay. Well, no, I appreciate the approach. And I look forward to hearing about the staff.
Kevin, you mentioned you don't want, why do you feel differently about the snow removal than the other activities?
On the leaf pickup, we have primarily our temporaries in that position are, if you see them out there, they're the ones on the end of the hose, they're the ones on the rakes. And so those are the duties that our temporaries are performing during that time. With snow and ice control, they're driving a 18,000-pound vehicle down the street with a snowplow in the front, and I would not feel comfortable having a temporary employee in that situation.
Or contracting for that.
Right. Yeah. Most of your temporary employees are probably would not have the CDL that would be required for that position anyways. So it's not likely that we would be able to do so anyways, but I would want someone that we've had in that plow, that we've put through training on that vehicle and things like that. I wouldn't feel that's a lot of weight, and it's a lot of responsibility.
Well, I guess that, you know, that's another you know, we contract for a lot of big projects where we don't have our employees doing the work. You know, this water tower is going to be built. Very important project, big deal. We're going to contract for all of that, and we're going to have contract specifications. I would think we could do the same. I think we could look at the same sort of thing for snow removal too. You know, we could have specifications and see what the cost of contracting versus having our employees do that work would be, how that would compare. But I mean, obviously we need people who know what they're doing driving the trucks. That's true. We need people who know what they're doing for everything we do in the city, whether it's building a water tower or driving a truck and plowing snow. I understand your point.
You know, while I think there may be some merit in checking that out, one thing that I do think we have enjoyed is the benefit of snow removal that is timely and efficient in our community, and I think that that's been very valuable. So in addition to the, you know, very valid points that have already been presented, I think we want to be sensitive to the fact that we want to have a little control over efficiency and timing on the streets as well when snow removal is necessary.
I think Mary has a good point that the snow removal is directly affected to quality of life. I mean, in Sylvania, the snow will be off the roads and you cross over the border and it's totally different.
But I agree with Mr. Hanum, as governmental budgets continue to get stressed through the years, we're going to be forced to, since employees are our number one expenditure, we're going to be forced to look at contract situations. I don't like it. Clearly the preference is to have our people doing our work, but in this new world in which we're living, I'm not sure in the future we're always going to have that luxury.
Go ahead.
Mr. Milner, I agree with you in the future. I don't think we're at that point right now in this community. So as far as that particular item, I agree. My one question is, in the streets department, are there any retirements that are pending that we would just do a non-replacement kind of thing?
I'll defer to George. I don't know. I know some of them, but I'm getting my people and departments
We have one about 18 months away, and a couple others in maybe around 3 years. I will say that up until maybe 5 years ago, our street department was responsible also for doing our parking lots, St. Joe's parking lots, and all these parking lots. And we have now contracted that work out. So we have, in some respects, contracted out some of that work, and we basically have our people just doing our main streets.
Thank you. And the
actually, other, we're not doing St. Joe's anymore. That parking lot agreement is over.
Right.
Another question is about brining, which I probably don't know as much as I should. That's a different equipment than a snow plow.
Yes. Yeah. That's tank, and then it basically is spread with a sprayer mechanism.
And we have all of this extra salt now, so are we going to be doing more salting than brining, or is the salt used to brine?
The salt is used to brine. You mix it up and create your solution, but it just, you don't have to use as much salt, yeah. And you really kind of use it two different uses. The brine you'll put down when the storm's on its way, and it gives you some time and security until the heavy stuff comes that you really have to go out and get and use the salt. So it's kind of a little bit two different operations. The brine you get out ahead of time, and then if the storm continues and really, you know, becomes a full-fledged, then you get the plows and the salt sprayers out.
So by using the brining, that will eliminate the early plowing maybe of stuff that isn't really a big deal.
Right.
And you shouldn't be plowing.
Right.
Yeah, smaller storms, you may not be able, you may not have to send your plows off.
The other advantage of running is you can have the crews do that on their regular hours. It's not an overtime situation.
Good point, yes.
If I were out today doing it because we're anticipating some snow.
Oh, yes, maybe an inch.
So that gets work, that gets some work done on regular hours.
Right.
Ty, going back to the discussion about the outsourcing piece, it strikes me that traditionally cities have gone to outsourcing where there's a ready vendor for that. I don't know, for example, if there's a vendor in Northwest Ohio that has the heavy equipment and the certified people to do street maintenance or to do snow plowing. You know, maybe there is. I don't know. I mean, I do know that there are companies that drop into a community and build water towers. Right? You can have that in the marketplace.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, and Toledo does do it. In a large snowstorm, they have a list of private subcontractors that bring in their own equipment.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit familiar with that, and I think that is done on the secondary streets.
You're exactly right.
And in Toledo, the secondary streets in many cases in the old parts of the city are extremely narrow and are and lend themselves to that size equipment, right? Yeah. They have to be small and nimble.
Exactly right.
I don't think we have that many streets like that in Sylvania.
I just brought up because that's the only contract situation I could think of.
But the point I want to ask about is the fact that as we go through this budget, and not necessarily the capital budget, but as we go through the operating budget, I think it would be helpful for Mr. Smith or the administration to educate council on whether there are ready private sector options. Okay, an example that I want to make, not because I want to call out this department, but because I just recently became aware of this, is that there's apparently a vendor in Central Ohio that handles all of the tax functions for municipalities. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but my understanding is there are companies that will send out the tax bills, collect the money, and send a check back to the municipality. I wasn't aware of that, and I guess as we go through the budget, there could conceivably be private sector vendors on a whole range of services that we do that we could outsource. So, you know, it would be helpful as we really sort of reinvent the budget here to know what is and isn't available effectively, you know, on an outsourcing basis. I wouldn't advocate, for example, contracting with a private snow plowing firm if the closest vendor was in Fostoria, you know. But it doesn't, in this day and age, it doesn't make any difference who's collecting our taxes. And so, you know, that would be helpful to know as we go forward.
And I guess I want to emphasize, we have a great workforce, a very dedicated workforce to the citizens of the city of Sylvania. And I'm not, I agree with Sandy, is I'm not saying right now that this is something that we need to do this. I just think we need to keep our eyes open. And I agree, Mark, with what you're saying as far as what are the options out there. Because again and again, we're going to be facing a total new reality in 13.
You know, and there's a third piece here that I think we shouldn't ignore, and it's been put to good effect in the metropolitan government in Indianapolis. When that when that county went to metro government and started restructuring its contracts with its workforce, they actually gave the unionized employees an opportunity to bid on the work that was being privatized. And so there, in particular, one of an example, the solid waste haulers union bid against private sector vendors and in some cases came up with the best bid to take over the trash hauling. So, you know, as we move forward, we have to look at every opportunity to do this in a resourceful way and also not to lose the talent that we've got, you know. So maybe there's an opportunity for that as well.
Are there other questions for Mr. Aller?
I have a question for you, Todd. So I'm not sure, how are we planning to do this?
Well, my thought would be at the conclusion of this meeting, and I'm hopeful that we'll be done in the 8:30 range, that have a motion would be made to send this up to a council
In total, or?
In total, but as amended, with these recommendations of cuts.
Okay, and these, let me make sure, these are all from our 401 fund expenditures, right? Is that the idea?
The ones at the top of the page are, I thought we were really talking about the sewer and water heads.
Yeah, the sewer and water out of the sewer and water fund.
Right, but the ones at the top.
What about the courts?
Courts, they also, that also is not going to be out of the 401.
They have their, that's out of,
They want 405.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any other expenditures we anticipate out of Fund 401?
I've got the ones that I made down at the bottom here. These are the projects we've got going on this year, the water tower.
The water tower comes out of 401, I thought we moved that.
That's water. The river trail, streetlights, and the silver road that we just passed, those are also coming out of 401.
So the, so River Trail, Streetlight, Silica Road, does that Silica Road include, the River Trail and the Silica Road would include the expenditures we did Monday, we approved Monday night, right?
Yes.
Are included in there.
Every year, projects come along, whether from the administration or from council, that end up coming out of the capital improvements fund. And one I know that we talked about yesterday at staff is hiring a consultant to begin work on the intersection of McCord and Brent. I assume that would be something you'd have to bring back in and would add to this list, Kevin. Is that not right?
The project itself would be studied once we get to the design of it. Yes, that would have to come back in. We just started the study of the traffic analysis that I took out of our operating funds.
But once we're ready to engineer it, we're going to be back in here. I don't know whether that's this year or not. We may be doing some work at that intersection or in that area because Lawrence University is moving ahead with their new recreation facility. We're getting information that may be under construction within the next year. So we're going to have to work in the area. They're going to have to help pay for some of it, but we'll end up spending some money there. And if you think about previous years, every year projects come in, whether we purchase property or we get on board for a new study or something, it comes in. And I don't have any to tell you right now, but I'm not going to tell you nothing else is coming in.
Is there a way to, and maybe this isn't even possible, to take a look at how much additional project requests come in and what that dollar value is over a 3-year period of time and come up with an average of how much we could anticipate might come in an unexpected way?
So your question would be the average of, say, over the last 3 to 5 years of the
additional requests
that come in over a year's time.
And you really want to categorize those two ways. Some of them are outright expenditures. If you're doing a study or you're purchasing equipment or doing something like that, we spent a lot of money in the last 3 years purchasing property, and that's not money that's gone. That's just a transfer from cash to property value. Everything down at SOMO and these two duplexes up here, that's not money that's gone. It's just not money that isn't showing up in cash. That's all. So I think Scott could put those together.
You know, Mr. Mayor, too, I think another discipline that council has to have, and I suppose the administration, is to somehow gauge the urgency of some of these projects. In the past, and I can't prove this, but it just seems like every project that we got from the service director was urgent. And clearly, if we have a project that's going to help one of our community partners, like the Lourdes project, an important community partner, that's urgent, you know. But it would be helpful, since I'm not an engineer and I'm not part of the administration on a day-to-day basis, it would be helpful to get a little paragraph in the report saying that this is something that we need to do right now, or this is something that we need to put on our wish list, and help us understand that.
And Mr. Aller is updating our five-year capital improvement plan. That'll come back to you as well, or his five-year infrastructure capital improvement type plan. That'll come back with you, but we are taking a better look at that. If you remember, 4 or 5 years ago, our reserves were high, and council instructed us to spend some of that down. We were quite successful at doing that.
Yeah.
And we're looking at it differently now.
You know, Todd, I have to leave in about 10 minutes, and I was hoping that if Mr. Hainem wanted to elaborate on his memo that he sent to council and to the administration the other day, that I wanted to hear him if he was going to do that. And so, Doug, are you interested in talking about that a little bit?
Can I make one comment? I was looking through here. One thing that I think we need to continue to do, it's a small amount, it's $10,000, but the street leveling or sidewalk leveling programs that we had in existence over the last 5 or 6 years is very important for preventative maintenance. If we don't keep on leveling these sidewalks, they're going to crack, they're going to break, and we're going to have to replace them. So I think there needs to be a minimum amount in the budget for different neighborhoods that and keep the sidewalk leveling going. You know, maybe not at the rate of $20,000 or $30,000 a year, but maybe at the rate of $10,000 a year to get those very important areas, because not only is it critical that we maintain them and we don't have to replace them down the road, which will cost a heck of a lot more than the leveling cost, but there's also a safety factor in there to our residents and stuff like that. You know, walking around and trip over a sidewalk, we're going to have lawsuits come back at us because we're not leveling sidewalks. It goes through my mind. I don't, you know, what the legality of that is, but I think we need to continue the sidewalk leveling on a reduced basis like we did last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but you know, I did a lot of walking around collecting petition signatures and stuff like that, and there are a couple areas that need to be addressed within the city. I think we're in pretty good shape to the west, but if you get over like in Stonehenge and those areas over in there is some improvements that need to be done, some leveling that needs to be done. Just my comment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. If I may, I've got two more items that I think we ought to talk about. First off, one that you have, what other expenses might come along? The last thing in the packets that you got handed this morning was a request from Jamie Farr to provide all the police overtime, which the chief is estimating at 13.5. And, you know, that's got to come from someplace. It'll be in his overtime budget, but we've looked at these in the past, and you know, we went through an 8 or 9 year project to try to get these down to zero, and now they're back to us again saying, well, we got to do this. And Judge Silverman's apparently making very clear, well, of course we have to supply this to him. It would be inappropriate to do anything else. We've asked him to donate to Sylvania Area Family Services. They've made a commitment to do it every 3 years. They're overdue. We're going to talk to him about that. But, you know, the Jamie Farr works very hard to raise funds, and then they go around and they give funds to charity. Well, it's hard for me to say, we're going to donate our police time so they can give more money to some charity in East Toledo. But that's what, in effect, is going on. Now, there has been another change, though. Up until about 3 or 4 years ago, we didn't get income tax on the purse. We are getting income tax on the purse now. And if it's $800,000 purse, which I think it is, it used to be over $1 million, but it's smaller this year. I think it's $800,000. That would mean we're getting about $12,000 off the purse, which I can say, all right, at least we have some income to the city from the tournament that's offsetting that. But I think you need to be aware of it. Yeah.
I guess the other thing, though, too, is the economic impact to the city. And I know that's a hard thing to put our arms around, but
Well, it's not, though. I mean, you know, there are multipliers and analyses that we that absolutely clearly demonstrate the multiplier effect of having those folks in the community. I think that's the kind of analysis we need to give on any of these budget items, is there a return on investment? And I can't imagine a quicker return on investment than the Jamie Farr. Not to mention what I think is more intangible is what the impact of having a major tournament has down the road on recruiting a major business to SoMa, for example. You know, some folks probably would think that's very cool to be in a town where you have a tournament like that every year. So I believe that's very quantifiable. We need to do that.
The first one right off the top is the income tax. That takes care of the ticket right there.
So I'm not sure that I'm certainly not troubled by this request. I'm gratified to know that the tournament is alive as well. You know, we have heard a lot of discussion about the fact that they were having trouble with their sponsors and the LPGA was being petulant for a while. And that sounds like it's all being resolved.
Well, I fully agree with that. Just you needed to be aware that they've asked.
Thank you.
They're not asking for cash. Some years they ask us to buy advertising. We're not spending cash. We are providing overtime. Another issue that I think you ought to go back to, and maybe Scott can help me with this, if you look at under street cleaner, five-year lease purchase, he's got $50,000 in there, and I think we had $200,000 on that line before.
T20.
And I'm not sure it makes sense to finance this just so that our numbers look better in the capital improvements fund. If we're committing 4 or 5 years in a lease purchase, why don't we just purchase it? There's nothing cheaper than use our own funds. We're only making 1% or something on our return. We're going to pay 3 or 4 or 5% in a lease purchase agreement. It was at some point we said, well, let's do a lease purchase, but I'm not sure that that makes sense. If we're going to buy it, let's buy it. But I'll do whatever council directs me to. Scott, could you give any more insight into that?
The reason I just presented that option is because I don't want to focus on the fund balances and how our budget is reducing our fund balance. And that's why I presented it in that fashion. Of course, if you have a five-year lease, there's going to be finance charges involved that you would not pay if you bought it outright.
Is it safe to assume, Kevin, that the life of this machine is going to be probably 10, 12 years?
Yes. Yeah. The machine that we're replacing is 14 years old now. So we would our plan is to get 15 plus out of this new machine. Yeah, it'll be used less, so it should conceivably last long.
Doug, to Mark's question, did you want to have some comments that you wanted to make to us, to the Committee of the Whole?
Listen, I guess the issue that I think is out there is that if I understand this correctly, we're also going to transfer out of the 401 account about $900,000 into our operating, into our general fund, right? Isn't that the plan this year?
We'll be reducing the balance by about $100,000. The actual transfer into the general fund is much more than maybe $5 million.
I admit I get lost in these various funds. The budget that we approved showed I forget the exact number, about a $900,000 transfer, right?
That would be, after all the transfers, the capital project fund balance was going to be reduced by about $930,000.
Okay. So that would mean, looking at, if I understand this correctly, we're looking at a reduction in that 401 fund of what is it, $2.7 million this year. Is that what we're projecting total? Now you got $400,000 in the top half of this sheet. You got roughly $1.6 million in the bottom, and then another $800,000 or $900,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. But,
So are we looking at a reduction in the capital improvement account of $2.7-2.8 million? Is that what we're projecting?
Well, you got to remember on the river trail, about half of that is going to be grant money coming in. So
the answer is no. What I'm trying to figure out, we have a target balance in the capital improvement fund that we are not, that we now know is a myth. Okay. We know it's a myth. We're below that. We are we're reducing it a couple million dollars a year. You know, at some point, I think we ought to have an intelligent view about what that ought to be, what we want it to be, and I think that impacts a lot of our decisions about what we need to do going forward. I think there was a statement in one of these meetings last month that we were looking at doing all this work this year to have a balanced budget for next year, and I don't think we're going to have a balanced budget next year. I don't think we have any interest in reducing our general fund expenditures anything close to what would lead to a balanced budget. And so I think we need to think about how much of that capital improvement account we're prepared to draw down over what period of time, because I think that really tells us how critical some of these things are. Issues, and the issues we're going to talk about with this Arts Commission thing that we're talking about next week. If we really were going to try and balance our budget next year, well, we're not funding them. We can't. Because we can't come up with $1.5 million and fund that work. I don't think that's really where we're going. I think what we're looking at is continuing to draw down from our, it's a capital improvement account. We kind of look at that as our reserve account. It's an undesignated account. We've drawn it down over the last few years. We're going to continue to draw it down. I would like to have a consensus around this table about where we're going with that. And I see in our packet, it's the first time I've seen this list of things to talk about each month. And I think before we talk about specific areas where we're going to reduce costs, not that we shouldn't talk about those, but I think there's this other issue about where do we think we want to be, so that we can start to, so that there's some framework around which we're having those discussions. That was my point of
right.
In the memo that I provided, and so I'll just throw that.
You know,
I didn't know that anyone had. This is the first time I've seen this schedule.
Yeah, we just got it.
I saw it for the first time the other day, and I asked Mr. Smith to provide it for us.
Okay.
You know,
this is something I came
yeah.
I know.
Just modify that however you want.
I absolutely agree with Doug that that's the fundamental point here, you know, and I would I think what he's suggesting, and I agree, is that we perhaps carry over that part of the conversation to next time and bump whatever's next down the road a little bit. But, you know, I hope we look at it from a couple of perspectives. First of all, I would like to go at it thinking that we can balance the budget, but I think we're not going to do it in the incremental way that some of us seem to be thinking about. I mean, you know, I've run a business for 30 years, and we've tried the cost saving from eliminating magazine subscriptions and making people buy their own coffee, you know, and that just doesn't do it. In the city context, if we're serious about this, we should have a serious discussion, for example, of outsourcing our parks department to another entity, you know, whether that's the Metro Parks or Olander or whatever. And we've had a little discussion about that, but if we're serious, we should have a serious discussion. I would love to have a conversation, despite the fact that we have some incredibly talented people in some of our departments, about outsourcing the tax department or outsourcing other areas of operation. That's how you save money, you know. I think the second piece of it, though, is maybe more fundamental, and that is that not too far down the road on the horizon, we've got some very expensive capital wishes. You know, I think we have to come to terms at some point about what really we're going to do with SOMO and how much the city is really prepared to pay for SOMO as opposed to try to let a developer do it. There seems to be some direct correlation between how much we're willing to spend and how much control we have over what that looks like, right? So there may be one or two other projects like that down the road, but that seems to be the big one. And I guess I'm interested in it because, again, it's the one project that I see that really can generate an economic return on investment, you know, in terms of tax revenues and multipliers. So I'm not sure I'm automatically willing to accept the fact that we're never going to balance the budget, but I am willing to accept the fact that we've got some strategically important capital spending discussions that I'd like to see us have yet. And I agree with Doug, if we can do that sooner rather than later, I think it helps inform the rest of our year's discussions.
Well, I think that's a good idea. At the March meeting, we can discuss reserves and where we ultimately want to land. I know the mayor has made some comments on that before as far as his comfort level, and I think that's a very good discussion to have. Just a housekeeping item, we'll schedule that March meeting at our next council meeting as opposed to doing that this morning.
And I apologize, but I do need to leave, so I don't mean to talk and run, but...
Is it the sense around the table, are we prepared to make a recommendation to council for this capital request for 2012?
I'd like to add in the $10,000 for street leveling.
Sidewalk leveling?
There's sidewalk leveling, yeah.
Is there anything we can bump to make room for sidewalk leveling, Kevin?
When does this have to be for that?
That maybe we can spend it.
I wouldn't want to bump anything that's not on this list. The one thing that I would have to take a look at is if it could be done within the operating budget.
Could we look at that?
Can you repeat that, Mr. Allen?
I'll take a look. I wouldn't, in order to make that $10,000 available, I wouldn't want to remove anything from this existing list. But I'll take a look at the possibility of doing that in our operating budget.
So having heard that, we're probably not prepared this morning to make a recommendation to council on these capital requests, or are we? I guess I'm still unclear of the sense around the table.
Okay, well, I think procedurally how we generally do these, I mean, we have these budgets, but each of these items we approve
individually,
I think, as they come up. I think that's how we've done that historically. And I think it's good to look at these things in total. And I guess, Kevin, you know the schedule on which you want to, most of these are things you're going to be implementing. And you're going to be coming back to us with a specific proposal on the Salt Dome. And I think the mayor makes a good point on the street cleaner. If we're going to spend that money out of the capital account, I just assume not spend it on interest. Just spend it on capital. Maybe we could look at those as they come.
I don't have a problem with conceptually supporting what what's been brought forward, you know, with the single exception of looking into the sidewalk leveling. But I think Doug's point is, you know, we're all going to have a chance to do an up and down vote on all of this. But if it's helpful for the administration to conceptually get a recommendation from council, from the committee, I don't have a problem with that. And I would move that.
Is it going to be helpful to the administration to have just a framework of these amended capital requests, or is it better just that we just handle them as they come in, as we traditionally do?
Well, we will bring all of them to you individually as we go out to bid or something like that, but I would appreciate just saying, yep, go ahead and do the work necessary to solicit bids or to do this with that. I'd like to improve the list for us to move ahead on.
Okay, I think what would be helpful would be to put together a list of our targeted, of our planned expenditures out of our 401 fund for the year. And it includes all these things, including, I'd like to know that the net we expect on the river trail is going to be, because we're going to have some revenue coming in as well.
Yeah, I was hoping to have a conversation with Mr. Sanford about that on Monday, so okay. Maybe we can move that along.
So I guess in terms of presentation, I guess this court's number is going to come out of the 405 fund, and the sewer expenditures come out of 702, and the water out of 701, and the water tower comes out of 701.
Right.
Moves all that in there. So if we could kind of break it down by count where we see that coming. The other thing that allows us to do is during the year, as these items come up, we can look at them and we can check them off, and if something comes up that isn't on there, then we know that. And that's the thing that I think will help us better track.
Scott, can you prepare that for us?
Yeah. Sure. I thought about that. Could we maybe put a committee of the whole meeting, schedule a committee of the whole meeting for just ahead of the council meeting a week from Tuesday to sort of review that list, and if it looks appropriate and reflective of the conversation we had, approve it and make a recommendation at that point. I guess what I would envision is maybe a 7 o'clock meeting start on that night.
Does that work for everybody?
Because if we're all on board with it, it shouldn't take very long.
Right, 7 o'clock before, that's the 20th, I believe, isn't it?
Yep,
21st.
Well, you guys have to remember to tell Martin to notice it.
But yeah, Mr. Tanzi, can you talk to Margaret about that?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait another month for this, you know.
Right.
Let's get moves to keep it going.
Okay, Mrs. Capellini had a comment.
I was just trying to figure out if we were chunking this up or we were going to pass it all together, and I just wanted to put in a word for Pat and the Parks and Forestry and how they're removing the trees and the reduced amount that $35,000 takes out the trees that are within striking distance of the trail. And right now the park is looking better than it has and than I've ever seen it. I mean the invasives and the dead trees, and it's they're doing a fantastic job, and I just wanted to make sure that we approve the $35,000 for the rest of the tree removal around the river trail. I was amazed at how many people were down there on a cold, wet, crappy day in February. People in suits and runners and people, and the trail's not even finished, but we really need to get the dangerous trees away from the people that are out there.
And this $35,000 will take care
of
that?
Right, and I just want to make sure that that falls in the beginning of our schedule of approving capital expenditures.
Okay. Any other questions or comments this morning?
Just one. I noticed on our list we're not discussing health care, and I thought that was one of the things we were going to look at.
Thanks for reminding me.
We can get it to any of those agendas, but I think in April.
So Scott, you can bring that forward too, as far as
maybe in April, because we got Mark pretty well planned.
Yeah, as far as health care costs. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? I thank you all. It's been a very productive session, and we'll continue this at the Committee of the Whole at 7 p.m. before our next council meeting on February 21st, 2012. We stand adjourned at 8:41 a.m. Thank you very much.